You're listening to Shift in Action, a program of wisdom media and spirited exchange offered through the Institute of Noetic Sciences. For more information, visit www.shiftinaction.com.
All right, so that's this hemisphere. It looks pretty okay. You see the big problem here of 55 in the middle of all these 300s and 400s, really quite an anachronism. What country is that? That's Haiti, okay? All right, and Cuba, which we expected to be lower than it is surprisingly like 300 or something. Isn't that, despite the dictatorship or whatever it is, it still seems to be hanging in there. Could be a lot better, but it's a far cry from 55. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. To be of use to the world, because that's a global new vision is what we're talking about, we have to know what kind of a world are we talking about, an imaginary world, a geographic world, an economic world, a world of political football. Now here we have another hemisphere, and now we begin to see what the problems really are. Here's Australia, 410. Here's Japan and the various civilized Asian countries. India, 355, Madagascar. Here we have Russia, Mongolia. Now we look at Africa. We look at South Africa, 195, almost in Tigris, but not quite over. Now here's Madagascar, I'm sorry. And now we look at the center of Africa, and you see Devastation Row, 65, 50, 110, 100, 50, 40, 80, 75, 90. Here's 40, 70, 100, 140, 70, 90, 75, 105, 115, 185, 90, 95. North Africa, 32nd and up. North Africa, where all the missionaries are headed, you know? And we see then where the problems are going to be. Now, if you can lower the map. Can you lower the map a little bit so I can reach it? Okay. And here's Europe. You see, here's Europe. Here's Scandinavia, 400, 385. Where are we in Europe? This is Spain, right? Yeah. And France. And now we get over to the Balkan countries. You see difficulties arising. And it's really in... Go to the next slide. Yeah, it's really in North Africa and the Middle East, you see, the very major difficulties, which have to do with prevailing level of consciousness.
But you didn't calibrate Germany?
Well, Europe is all around the same. They're all in the 300s, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as high as the United States. For what reason, I don't know. Because it's the home of great learning and the erudition and the great philosophers, and et cetera. All right, so this is looking at the world in a more scaled-down way in which, in a very instant, you can just about get a feel for where the consciousness is of mankind, how it spreads out across the globe. Next one. Mm-hmm. All right, so here again now. Now we see in the Middle East, you see, the difficulty is going to be... Here we have... So our expectations then... would have to be based on the experience or reality of the consciousness of the people. You understand? So, 140 to 190, you see? Therefore, approaching people who are facing survival with ideologic niceties, you know, it means diplomatically we have difficulty communicating with other countries. And a sophisticated political analysis reveals, really, that the difficulties internationally arise from the inability to communicate effectively with others, and the inability to communicate is due to the awareness of the levels of consciousness of the people you're talking to. I'm very aware what the consciousness level of this room is. What I'm saying today would make absolutely no sense whatsoever to most of the people on this planet. You understand what I'm saying? Diplomacy based on... Well, what about civil rights in your country? Well, we have civil rights. When they break the law, we execute them. What are you talking about? When we catch those Dorg people, we execute them. We chop their hands off when we catch them praying. Isn't that justice? Isn't that what you're talking about? We have justice here. They don't know what you're talking about. So, humility means to realize the limitation of your own understanding. Realize my responsibility is to understand these people. Who is it I'm talking to? What level of consciousness am I addressing? So you go back to the map of consciousness, you find out what is the level of consciousness of this country here, what is the level of this, what is the level of these people at 190, 195, you find out that it's pride. Well, you can't tell people who are coming out of pride how much better you are than they are. I mean, that's idiotic. That's what we do. This is what I saw, I forget his name, the reviewer, the reporter, do with the president of China, the biggest country in the world, 6,000 years old. And here's this idiot, criticizing their civil rights. Yeah, civil rights. We have civil rights. We put wrongdoers in jail and execute them. What more do you want? You understand what they're saying? Then we have civil rights. It's you people with all your crime on the streets and your immorality. Your crime and your immorality and your drugs and your street people. Eulogizing crime. Hip-hop culture. Eulogizing and glorifying violence and disrespect. Yes? So that, you see what he's saying. He's saying, you're an immoral country. How do you dare come to me, an ancient culture, and tell me how better you are than I am? 50% divorce rate. Crime in the streets, everybody on drugs, disrespect for authority. So it means to me, realizing who we are, where we're at in the evolution of consciousness, who they are, where they are in the evolution of consciousness, and respecting it. Huh? Respecting it. I respect where people live. I've been all around this world in all kinds of cultures, and I found it just as easy to be in any one culture as another. I can be happy in the middle of a motorcycle gang who cut your throat at the drop of a hat. And I was pals with them. I'm pals and speaking at Oxford. You know, it's all the same. It's just that you get who you're with and then you're appropriate with those people. So our diplomatic blunders, in my naive view of it, is a lack of humility to be self-impressed with how wonderful democracy is and falling in love with that term democracy, you see? A two-party system means endless conflict, doesn't it? European countries don't have a two-party system. You know, you elect three people and they all share in the same office. They have coalitions. They have coalitions, not two-party systems. Two-party means chocolates and the vanillas after each other, see? And if we put them all together, we get mocha, we get chocolate and vanilla, and everybody gets to vote. The chocolates get to put their stuff in, the vanillas get to put their stuff in. So you might say from an idealistic viewpoint, coalitions might be a more peaceful way to go, yeah? Alright, so, alright, just looking at the world the way it is, because we want to be of help to the world, how can we be of help to the world? One way we can be of help for the world is not to be an impediment. Not to be a thorn in the side. Not to aggravate people. Not to be insulting. And we hear that from the Arabic world, that it's the superiority, insulting superiority attitude of America that makes them angry, huh? Okay, we got any more slides? Oh, more slides. All right, because we're talking about the global awakening and carrying forth the impact of a spiritual message in the world, I thought, what is the nature of the world that we want to bring an impact to? Because not knowing the nature of the world has not been very successful. Being ignorant of the nature of the world is not of any help. So closing our eyes and pretending that the world is different than it is, everybody's idealistic like we are, they are not. They are not idealistic like you are at all. They have the slightest interest in idealism, in niceness, you know. So here's where you're going to run into trouble. You see, when people are down this low, 50, 40, 30, they're not a threat to the world. Those people are so apathetic, they can hardly get from here to there. The average age of death is 12 and a half. In the better countries, 21. Everybody dies of AIDS, starvation, and they're slaughtered by these people with civil war. So one tribal chieftain comes in and slaughters them, and then they get up and slaughter what's left, and then they burn down what's left. What's left is left in the mud to starve to death and die of AIDS and have convulsions. All right. So you've got to get real about a country like this. Are they interested in democracy? They're interested in whoever's going to feed them. And if that's a criminal, so much the better. That's their tradition. The big-time criminals passed out money to the poor, and they became the man on the block. Huh? Kiss my ring, yeah? You need money, I'll get you money. Get your money, money. You don't have to go to the bank, I'll get you the money. Huh? So they pass it out. That's where the power is then, is who's going to hand you what you need. You need something to eat to start with. Something to eat would be nice, and then we'll talk about idealisms. So here you see the staggering reality that has to be dealt with, you know? You see North Africa. You see over here. And you see here's where the trouble is. You see that at 70, these are people are not a threat to anybody. They haven't got enough energy to cross the block, much less be a threat to you. When they get up to 190, however, they're starting to get dangerous. Danger, then, is when people come out of apathy, go into anger, get into paranoia and grandiosity and pridefulness. All right, so in the Middle East, there hasn't been any peace for thousands of years, and frankly, I don't even expect any for another 1,000 years. Israel and Palestine are both about the same, 185, 190. Neither one's interested in peace. That is a pretense. That's a political pretense. So that peace has been degraded by being used as a political slogan. We're the party for peace. Yeah, right. You and your brother. Everybody's for peace. So what? So these people, Israel and Palestine, play the media. They play the media. Play the media for who's going to be the one for peace. And you can tell it's all a lie. It's interesting to watch the nightly news as Arafat or something like that comes on. And you check him with kinesiology and say, is this man telling the truth? No. Is he telling the truth now? No. You can watch a half-hour interview in which they do not tell the truth once. Not once. Not once in an entire interview. Worldwide interview, lying continuously. There's no intention of peace because peace would mean the end of your reign. Your reign. Let's take a young teenager in Afghanistan who is a hopeless, pathetic, stone age. Never been to school, can't read or write, has no skills, worth nothing in the world economic market, and you give him a gun. Now he's somebody. He's got power. He's got the symbol of power. Now he's got something he can sell to the war chieftains. You want him to give up his gun and become nobody again? Forget it. Saudi Arabia, 175, Lebanon, 130, Yemen, 160, United Arab Republic, 180, Jordan, Iran, all 180, 185, 125, 120, and happily right in the middle of all that, surprisingly, is Turkey at 245. Huh. Turkey at 245. And the rest of it, as you can see where it's at, pridefulness, conflict, all the pitfalls of the ego, all the pitfalls of the ego. And because 190 has a lot of dangerous power to it, 190 you can blow up a lot of people because you've got the energy. At 70 you're not a threat to anybody. You haven't got the energy to dream up a plot and put together a bomb. But at 180, 190, those people are very dangerous. You give them guns at 180, 190, they're going to blow you apart. And that's what they do. Okay, next page. All right, we just want to get what are the realities we're dealing with. We want to bring a vision to the world, a vision to what world? All right, so let's see what we can learn from history. Man has never had the capacity to tell truth from falsehood. Now we have this for the first time. We can go back to the map now when the sextant was discovered and the compass and go back and revise the maps. What is it really all about? So let's look at the difference between war and peace. War and peace is not what people think it is at all. Peace is the natural state of affairs when truth prevails. When truth prevails, peace is natural. You don't create peace. Nobody can cause peace or create peace. Nobody's going to make peace happen. No way you can make it happen. It's like silence. There's no way you can make silence happen, can you? You can't force people to love. You can't force silence to be in the forest. Silence is the automatic consequence if you remove just the disturbance of noise. Peace is the automatic natural state when truth prevails. War is the state, automatic state when falsehood prevails. Now, the war may be a war of weapons or it may be an ideologic war. You see, because we said to survive, there was the me of the animal and tooth and claw. Then man got a frontal cortex. And now all he did was transfer his animal nature and expand it via the intellect. didn't change. His man's animal nature didn't change. He just now expressed it with the intellect, which is more formidable than tooth and claw. So he makes war ideologically now. He attacks people ideologically. He rips them apart, not with his physical teeth, but with his mental teeth. So war still prevails. War. People think war is just a shooting war. No. Wars are going on continuously. The state of war is almost a permanent state. The basis of war is ignorance, and the reason for the ignorance is that the human mind cannot discern truth from falsehood. People watch the evening news, they don't know whether that politician is telling them the truth or falsehood. Here's a diplomat from a foreign country, he's got an impressive title. Nobody would think this guy's going to sit there and lie through his teeth for 28 minutes nonstop. They do. Try it any night. O'Reilly or whatever program you see. Check out, is this guy telling the truth? I don't know how you can tell the truth and also be a politician. It's a problem, it's a possibility, but... Human mind cannot discern truth from falsehood. The consequence is inability to discern a true leader from a megalomaniac. The basis of that is the ego is equally programmed into polarized ego positions. Every politician knows that. Every sales marketing department knows that. This toothpaste is better than that toothpaste. The result is a distortion of truth and propaganda, which Joseph Goebbels was the world's expert. The cost is the death and destruction to mankind. And as I said, in my lifetime, 100 million, 100 million by war itself, and indirectly by war, far more. Let's look at World War II then. Now we have a different way to analyze history, current events, international events, political events, the global world that we're talking about. As an example, we'll go back to World War II, which I liked because I just happened to be there. Yeah. Experiential reality. All right. But Winston Churchill, I want you to notice that all the good guys over here smoke and these guys don't smoke. I just want you to know that. Winston Churchill, President Roosevelt, they all smoked. Eisenhower, all the great generals, the great admirals, everybody smoked up a storm. It was the camaraderie, symbolic of the love of men for each other, which is different. See, men bond with each other and they mate with women, but interestingly, men bond with each other. And fellow warriors, even though they're from the opposite side, honor each other. And after World War II, if a guy was a kamikaze pilot, I'm honored to meet him. He was willing to give his life for his country. All right, so above 200, we got Winston Churchill at 5'10", Roosevelt 499, the U.S. government at that time 395, MacArthur, for all his pridefulness, was 425, Eisenhower, who was a chain smoker, 455. U.S. treatment of war prisoners, 255. U.S. internment of Japanese, 300. We bemoan that, but we were sort of like, what else can you do? Heisenberg's principal, Heisenberg, was at 465. Wernher von Braun at 400. U.S. military, 315. German military, 205. You see, that's integrous for the Wehrmacht. They all did their best for the Wehrmacht and that which they believed in. The German military was integrous. I bring up triage because the American public doesn't understand triage. Los Alamos, the intention was 400, was just the intellect. Rommel was quite interesting, 203. 203. And of course, at the critical moment, Rommel was celebrating his wife's birthday, and they the Normandy invasion then swept them aside. It was a bad time to celebrate his birthday. The U.S. military at the time of Pearl Harbor was 250. The kamikaze pilots, as I said, interestingly, 390. The Luftwaffe, also bravery and courage, 345. Emperor Hirohito right on the edge, 200. Kamsi Kamsa. Tojo was a little more integrous. Admiral Yamamoto was integrous, and he realized the mistake that you have awakened the sleeping giant. Adolf Hitler, interestingly enough, early in his career was over 400. Let's see. I don't have him early and late. We have permission to do Adolf Hitler. He was over 400, 425, 440. All right, so Hitler early in his career was idealistic, socialist party, and it was later on that he crashed. Joseph Stalin, 90. Mussolini, 50. Heinrich Himmler, 40. The Third Reich, 70. Neville Chamberlain, 185. Now you see, when Neville Chamberlain met with Adolf Hitler and they signed a mutual peace treaty, and he came back peace for our times. As soon as he signed this peace agreement with Adolf Hitler, let's check out what Hitler was thinking. Hitler was thinking, "What a stupid idiot!" He says. Hitler was thinking, "What a stupid idiot." Sure, we're going to disarm ourselves. Yeah, right. Shake on that, buddy. So Neville Chamberlain went home at 185. He didn't really catch what it was about. The Japanese government, Oppenheimer later was a turncoat. Los Alamos double agent, 70. League of Nations was poor and pathetic, 185. The pacifists at the time, which were in denial. Then the attack on Pearl Harbor at 45. Goebbels at 60, Nazi treatment. So here you can... Is it the newspaper giving a twist to things, or is this the way it is? Is it the newsreel selecting what to photograph, or is that a reflection of reality? So consciousness research then allows us, for the first time, the first generation of people, to see what is the inside reality, the absolute truth of what went on, instead of it being buttered up by propagandists and political twists and historical revisionism. The London Blitz was 30. Dr. Mengele, one of the most wretched creatures that ever walked the earth at 15. The famous Cambridge Five, which were turncoats. The Rosenbergs, these are all turncoats. Lord Haha, I just like his name, Lord Haha. And Tokyo Rose. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Now we get to recent times. I don't want anybody to get upset and lose their breakfast. This is the Iraqi war, which, of course, has been the subject of endless propaganda, twists, political maneuvering. All right, so let's just calibrate what is... I don't have any interest in any of those things. I have any interest in political positionalities, because I see political positionalities for what they are, their pretenses and stances of the ego and the intellect, and because of their limitation, they have no attraction one way or the other. But the presidents of the United States historically have been 460. You realize the Constitution of the United States is in the 700s. The presidency has been historically around 460. Why is it there? Because if it gets higher, you wouldn't be interested in being president. In the 500s, you'd say, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, sure. Under the 400s, you wouldn't have the brains to handle it. So the best thing... It's a very, very demanding, extremely demanding position. I envy nobody who's president. I don't envy Truman, the decision to drop the atomic bomb. He was looking at 6 million dead by invasion and 300,000 death by atomic. He had to make this. It was a very horrendous decision. I certainly don't envy him. I would never want to be president of the United States, because no matter what you do, you're going to be vilified and beaten up. So everybody takes turns beating up the president. But his integrity at the time was 460, which is pretty traditional. Secretary Powell, so the 460, they're all 460, 450, 450. 450 and 460 then is rational intelligence in following the discipline of logic, the intellect, ethics, middle America, you might say. You know, what's decent, the right thing to do. The Congress at 450, the U.S. population now 431. The U.S. media lagging behind at 320, giving in to political pressures. Peace vigils, 305. U.N. Security Council, sort of a feeble 202. Just over the line. At the same time, Iran is standing at 185. All these countries you see are standing at 180. And peace demonstrations are really a political kind of warfare. Peace is a political slogan, is just another form of warfare. The Iraqi population, the media, so you can see what the levels of consciousness of these various elements are. Not to judge them, but to understand them. The vilification of the U.S. President Saddam Hussein, jihad is 50, Islamic terror is 50, 45, 40. So, you're looking at danger, extreme danger. That which is 40, that which is about the same level as a Komodo dragon, your death is irrelevant to them. You understand? Your death is irrelevant. Your death is good. The more of you we kill, the better. You understand that thinking? That's what you're up against, you understand? You're up against people that believe that your death is going to be their spiritual advancement. Okay, so let's go to the next one. What can we expect out of a Komodo dragon? I'll tell you what to expect. I wouldn't go there into his cage without shoes on. But somebody did out of naivete. They got bitten and survived, but it's unusual to survive. So we don't hate that which is dangerous, potentially dangerous. We respect it. Not hatred, but respect. I respect that which is dangerous. I respect the rattlesnake. I respect the Komodo dragon. I respect somebody who calibrates at 90 and thinks his way to heaven is by killing me. I respect them. I don't play around with them and see how far I can push him. You see? Because he'll bite you. Okay, so calibrations during the Korean War. We were over in Korea, and the people there now, it says the 300s, I think they're higher than that. North Korea, at the time of the Korean War, was at 80. The communist regime was at 90, huh? That was the time of the Korean War. The Vietnam War, the U.S. military, 335, war protesters, 201. And interestingly, some of these illnesses that were disputed after the war, we asked PTSD after the Vietnam War is an actual clinical entity, and it says yes, PTSD is a valid clinical entity. It's not just something conjured up to warrant getting money from the government. Lyndon Johnson left something of to be desired at 185. Vietnamese populace, 70. Viet Cong, 40. Viet Cong, U.S. media, 185. Not too integrous either. And the communists in the U.S. who were engineered a lot of the protest movements, etc., themselves were not well motivated. So that's a shorthand of the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Let's look at the Cold War. The U.S. position is that of intelligence. 400 is the intellect. West Germany, President Nixon, 400. John F. Kennedy, 430. The U.S. media, not too good about it, 215. Now, let's look where our whole system fell down. U.S. intelligence operations, 195. 195 won't get you all the way to the filling station. You're going to run out of gas. 2 miles short. And have to walk the last 2 miles. The CIA and the FBI, of course, historically, we know they blew the whole thing. East Germany, the Russian position, the KGB, was really up to a lot of mischief, weren't they, at 40. Khrushchev at 80, Brezhnev at 90. U.S. communists sort of habitually are at 130, huh? What happened with the Gulf War? President Bush the senior was at 400, U.S. military, 310. And here again, we ask about the effect of war on the military. Gulf War syndrome, a fact? Yes. Because you remember the controversy that they were trumping it up and using it to extort money from the government for veterans? It's an actual clinical fact. Saddam Hussein, at the time of the Gulf War number one, was at 95. Kaiwat, it was at 195. I don't know anything about Kaiwat, why it's 195 and not 205, but it must have its reasons. Now, if we go back historically, you can see we can do this with any war in history. We can re-examine history, and from it we learn a staggering amount of information about the human condition. World War One, President Woodrow Wilson, who was an idealist, was at 400. Kaiser Wilhelm was not an idealist, he was at 165. And when I grew up, the survivors of World War One were still around, and they suffered from shell shock. Shell shock. Is that an actual clinical fact, an actual clinical, verifiable clinical entity? The answer is yes. So the effect of war on the veteran is then it does leave psychic, psychological devastation. It does impair and injure the brain chemistry, and they do indeed have a valid, treatable condition. I thought for fun we'd go back to Napoleon and Waterloo. At the time of the Battle of Waterloo, the Duke of Wellington calibrated 405. And Napoleon only calibrated 75 at the time of the Battle of Waterloo. Now, Napoleon had calibrated much higher earlier in his life. Did we do that before?
Yeah.
All right. So you see, Napoleon was a brilliant man, a graduate of the military university. He could dictate to five or six secretaries simultaneously. He had probably extremely high IQ. I never calibrated his IQ. That was must have been extremely high. And then fell victim to megalomania, and as such became easy prey for the Duke of Wellington. And Napoleon, at the Battle of Waterloo, made some really ridiculous decisions. Yeah. And interestingly, Hitler made the same mistake of trying to invade Russia in wintertime as Napoleon made. And Hitler himself was quite a student of Napoleon, and why he made the same idiotic mistake in an identical manner, you know, it can only be explained by the fact that by that time his level of consciousness was 90, because nobody at 440 would be so stupid as to repeat Napoleon's mistake in less than 100 years. It wasn't that many years between Waterloo and Hitler's making exactly the same mistake. Where are we in time and space? Any place? I don't know.
Huh?
Yes, 2:30. Yes. All right, so the implications, then, of consciousness research is application to understanding the world. You see, compassion comes out of understanding. So we can't say, let's all have a meeting where we're going to be prayerful and compassionate for who, for what? You have to first understand what it is. Compassion then comes out of comprehending the nature of man as it has evolved over huge eons of time. To see the limitation is that of being lame, of being limited. To see that the limitation of mankind is the limitations of the human intellect, which cannot tell truth from falsehood. For the world to even know that it's possible to tell truth from falsehood would probably be shocking. And on the other hand, extremely enlightening. What would a politician do when he's on television, when he thinks everybody's out there in TV land is checking me out with kinesiology? His appearance, unfortunately, has been canceled tonight due to a... We're going to have a team of truth tellers checking every politician and reporting in some kind of a periodical about the percentage of truth of every public interview. Wouldn't that be... Now you can do something about world peace. Now, because unless you confront falsity, it continues on, does it not? And it doesn't disappear until you call it for what it is. We're not saying that falsity and evil and all those things are wrong. We're not calling them wrong at all. If a man wishes to get up there and lie for an hour and a half, it's a free country. There's no reason why not. We just do need a study journal, a bulletin, a report. Then in the recent interview on CBS where so-and-so, we found that 99% of the time he wasn't telling the truth. I don't know if that would embarrass a politician or not. It might actually get him a reward, you see. Now, the levels of consciousness can assist us through spiritual evolution, through the transcendence of the ego, to the awareness of the presence of God within as the source of our own existence. How this information and awareness can be a benefit to every area of human endeavor, including the nitty-gritty everyday reality of such things as business, which spiritual people tend to look down on. Oh, that's just business, that's just commercial, that's just money. And without it, you wouldn't be here. Because it's the capitalist who makes your shoes, and it's industry that creates the notebook you're writing in. And so instead of vilifying any aspect of our culture, we begin to understand it and see its benefit and see how it fits into the whole evolution of consciousness and how it serves us all. And so we're all here to serve mankind in its highest, in the highest way possible. Each one of us here this day is already, by our mere presence, serving mankind. We tend to elevate the consciousness level of mankind by our commitment and our intention, and I need quantum mechanics. Miss Betty Dreamer, she's off in space. You must have been listening to the lecture. Shame on you. Oh, helping mankind. Well, we were going to just, we promised you that we would try to make this, bring this correlated with science. And for those of you that are into quantum mechanics, you're aware, as we said this morning, the Schrodinger equations are both time independent and time dependent. They are a statement of the present condition of the universe. Then we ask the universe a question. That's the kinesiologic proposition. We make a statement. And that opens what is traditionally called the Heisenberg process, where by choice and intentions, human consciousness already affects the field. What happens is it collapses the wave function, and it brings about, through the von Neumann process, a new state of the universe, and directly affects the field of consciousness itself. This is, I like Henry Stapp's explanation. He's professor of advanced theoretical physics at Berkeley, and his explanation on the internet is about as good as anything. And the subsequent collapse of the wave function then is due to human consciousness. Consequently, nature can only say yes, it cannot say no. The kinesiologic response then is the state of the universe. We present it with a statement, and it either collapses the wave function or it does not. Now, at the Solvay conference, you know, the Heisenberg principle was quite a challenge to the Newtonian paradigm. And in Copenhagen, all the great names were there. David Bohm, who calibrates at 507, I think. Anyway, the great minds were there. Einstein was presented with a problem. Einstein had the option to what position to take. You see, because of the metaphysical philosophic implications, the old paradigm, the Newtonian paradigm of reality, was now being threatened, just like the Copernican system and Galileo threatened traditional astronomy. Now, man's belief in what is a fact and what is true, and his worship of science as the highest god, was being threatened. So now came the challenge of how to interpret the phenomena known as the Heisenberg principle, that to merely witness, to observe, already collapses the wave function and changes the whole formula. And Einstein at that point said, I prefer to believe that there's an independent, verifiable, objective universe that exists independent of consciousness and man's consciousness. And despite the fact that he was a religious man, he could not make the jump, the paradigm jump. So 499 to 500 is rarely made because it's a paradigm jump, because it's moving from out there-ness to subjectivity. All of us live in a subjective reality, as objective as we'd like to sound. To even say that only objectivity is real is already a maximal subjective statement. It's your subjective experience that only objectivity is real. So you cannot escape the subjective, because that which is talking about the objective is subjectivity itself. The essence of the realization of the presence of God itself occurs when you move from the Newtonian paradigm through the quantum potentiality into the subjectivity of reality. Yeah? Because the presence of God within you then is the very source of existence, awareness, and presence. And it is that presence that speaks, because there is no person speaking to you this day. I give thanks then for your presence and the wonderfulness of this experience. Before my voice cracks, I will say we'll break for a short intermission, after which I'll be glad to meet everyone, answer questions, sign books. Now, what we've been doing in the last few lectures is we leave the speaker on. You see the, what do you call this thing, microphone? And then as people talk back and forth, we leave it so the public can hear it. This happened one time by accident. We thought the microphone was off. And we went out in the hall, and everybody was sitting there totally entranced. They've been listening to all this give-and-take conversation. And so, therefore, we'll do it the same today. And so as we talk back and forth, we'll leave the speakers on, and you can all hear what's going on, because the question you're holding in mind will be asked by someone. And so that's sort of a fun thing to do, where we share the whole thing with the whole audience. And we'll sign everything and meet everybody and hug everybody. It costs $1 to hug me. I was in. We're going to do the. Before we do this, though, I don't know whether to do it after or no. No, we'll do it before. Want to do the chant now?
Yeah.
We promised you to have Nico chant the Lotus Sutra in Sanskrit as what was written many centuries ago. As a matter of fact, Nico and I were last together 350 years ago in the same sangha as Hinayana Buddhists. Yeah. In fact, both of us are missing a thumb. Is that so? Secret society. Yep. Okay, so we're going to have Nico do it. It's unforgettable. Where do you want to go? Here. Here, sit right here.
There's a chair right there.
Right there? You have a chair?
No.
Here,
testing. That'll work.
Wait a minute. He's got it. Is it working?
Yeah, I'll stand.
You want to stand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I invite you all to just lean into this. And please don't try to understand it. I've been doing it for years. I still don't understand it. Understanding is the booby prize. Open Bondi Nini Dade on to the Mayan Tony King O Daddy the Dobo G eight and then Mario Gaudi A Manangan on you eat as Omanukadi with the Ravon Audis always dog out with the Dodingan. Look at the Monogamodo dog with the Dingo dog with the Mario Dow, Yum Yodov, Mondo, Dudin and Mida, who do we get to do his own hunger, Dario to go to Dove to eat as to do in and to do he. Going on, go, mo, do, ho, ban, and do, de, do, de, do, e, so, ga, nor, I, ho, ban, ji, kin, enemy, to, kind, go, to, ga, dari, to, do, dai, ji, kin, go, dai, ji, na, ma, ri, ho, mo, gay, ricky, bo, so, e, then, do, gay, da, sam, my, jin, yo, mo, da, do, do, e, sai, me, da, ho, dari, to, do, dai, no, to, do, fo, medico, de, da, ho, gan, yin, yun, na, ne, ga, do, din, da, ri, to, do, su, yo, gan, di, ma, ri, ho, mo, er, me, da, ho, mo, ni, to, do, di, da, ri, to, fo, to, bo, di, to, do, e, so, ga, bo, so, da, do, dai, to, gay, you, Nange si ho yo e pati ho with an eye no gordon da ho di so da we so ho no da so no da da no da rikin no da da no da and no da ka no da ho no da ho ma go no da so e so ho no da so no da so no da da no da rikin no da da no da and no da ka no da ho no da ho ma go go da so e so ho no da so no da so no da da no da rikin no da San yo de en no de en no de gan yo de ho no de ho ma go go do. Myo ho ding ge kong yo da yo wan da yo ro ge di ga du ko bu di yo do go do go do ma ri yo ya ke den ma no ke da yo ro ge do de bo go ge mo do wo ke do do. Rong yo ho bu te do ni rai ma ri yo ga we do 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 go ho beng gen ne ho ni de bo ma da do do di da bo ngo do do de. He told in the ricket out and out of the Vigani, who can do can come to the go 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 Dining on the dog again, thou do down with the dial, go gay, go for weekend, and run out, dog to go and out and run bow night to eat that bow. Then the regino day, oh, so gay, go, don't I roll to dingo, oh, do, dog and go, then I go, don't dig out, do on out there and dog don't man. On and dog, dog, gay, do, do, hold dog on, hold to dog, gay, go, do, you regido, ding, dingo, do, gee, a woman, dara gay. Don with the good out to go to the volcano, they took and all day, no photo go, no, no, they did to do Monday, do that to do, you could go in and go, doggy go. For Monday, Momo, do all dog go to do, I did to get out, so I can go in, I did need that bow. But they do, that the bitter door, Mario, go, and I can both times, that the bitter nanti, Gaji, Ricky, no day. Echo do, Mario, Jim, no more, do go, go, do go, do, 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 So then, Royo, Jin, Motago, Jipuko, no, E, then, O, Benny, G, O, Z, Kondi, to Dini, Naji, Mona, Zeko, Monga, Yakawi, Sebu, Kuzo, Kogan, Tai, Bambu, Dendao, Dito, Dini, Gamba, Tuido, Genga, Koni, Zoko, Zen,
Go be in that silence. We'll be back in about 15 minutes, 20.
I always envisioned Nico as being a 50-ton cement block when he does that. Ha, ha, ha.